Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, which is a playful take on storytelling and collaboration, proving that when two tellers work together, they can make a podcasting tale twice as nice. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, if you're new to the program, our opens are parodies of kids' books these days from our producer, Rich. And boy, did that one work really well.
That one's barely even parody, really, yeah. If we're being honest. Yeah, I would argue that we even almost rhyme.
The Book That Almost Rhymed by Omar Abed and Hatem Ali.
Cute. Nice. Check it out. Hey. We got something for everybody on this show.
Indeed. And of course, today is May 1st, 1994, because according to the internet, it's still 1994.
What? I thought it was whatever it was.
Yeah, there's a few takes on these, but the 1994 one has got some momentum right now. The argument goes like, hey, look at all the things from 1994 that are still around. You know, you've got Trent Reznor doing OSTs, soundtracks. You've got Quentin Tarantino still making news about making movies or not making movies. Kirsten Dunst is starring and stuff. And 94 is when she debuted. So yeah, it's one of those fun nostalgia cycle things. But yeah, the thing that makes it particularly interesting is that 94 is kind of the last year that the internet didn't play any part in popular culture. Like Kurt Cobain, all of that stuff, like all the top movies. If you heard about a trend, it was probably on TV, not on the internet. You didn't even have a lot of stories about the internet. So it feels like people are pointing at that. I mean, as well as Cotton Eye Joe from 94, like going viral on TikTok, or The Crow getting remade. Like, they're also pointing out like everything since 94 has kind of been a repeat internet echo chamber, which maybe isn't true, but it's interesting. It's one of those, it's like syncing up Pink Floyd with Wizard of Oz. Like, kind of fun to play with.
And it's kind of fun to think about. And honestly, I was, I know this will shock many people, including anyone who knows me, but I was in a club a few weeks ago in Chinatown in San Francisco, like dancing.
Look at you.
To all of the exact same. So I'm surrounded by 22-year-olds who are, and I'm dancing to all of the exact same music that I danced to when I was 22. Yeah. Like, it is pretty wild how, I mean, I know that there are, it, of course, like, we're old enough to have seen cycles of fashion and music and, you know, it's like, oh yeah, this is back or whatever. I've never seen anything be back the way the 90s are back. Like, it's a copy paste.
Yeah. I think and because such a large part of it was documented on the internet. Right. It's
maybe
there's more to access, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. But I like it. Honestly, if we were going to have a year, I think 1994 feels like, yeah, I'd go back. I'd get in that time machine.
Yeah. I moved to Austin in 93, and 94 was like that first full year. It may not have been my best year in Austin, but it was a good one. Right.
Yeah. I graduated high school in 93. And so then I would have been starting college in 94. So I guess if I could really pick, I might say 93, because that's just sort of like, I don't know. No, that's not true. Kicking off college, that was the way to go.
Yeah.
That was the way to go. One thing that hasn't changed since the 80s or 90s is shame about your body and everything that it does.
Yeah. I'm sorry about having one.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I don't know what you're doing with that thing, but yeah, everything that you are doing is wrong, whether it's absolutely the hair, mm-hmm, the size of it, the overall shape of it, and certainly the smell. Okay, so this is actually very funny, having come on the heels of like the talk about not showering every day and the everything shower and then this and that.
Yeah, yeah. We're treating both ends of the spectrum here.
We really freaking are, because I have now seen 50 million commercials and some accompanying trend pieces for full body deodorant.
Well, this is the logical extension, and I'm sorry it took all the way till 1994 for it to finally catch on, but the rise of deodorant in pop culture terms is often attributed to television advertising, right? When you could show somebody getting stigmatized, you know, and then it scared you, like, what if I smell? Maybe I should use deodorant more often. It seems like the only logical next step would be, you know, well, if it's not just your armpits, what if all of you smells? Better get all body deodorant.
You just better spray that stuff everywhere. Yeah. And actually, it's interesting that you say that, because the 90s in particular, I remember there being a lot of feminine hygiene commercials.
Yep.
The not so fresh feeling.
Right.
That's when that. And so you, and there was like a backlash against it. I mean, it was this kind of like, don't, you know, eventually, finally, women were like, hey, could you please not put out a bunch of TV commercials telling me that my business stinks?
Yeah.
Like, this is my body, you know, and it created all of this shame about like, oh my God, does your junk stink? Okay, that is back. And incredibly, the commercial that I keep seeing is from is this brand called Native, which is sort of like putting off this natural vibe. Like, it's got the coloring and the whatever that suggests it's like a, you know, like Tom's.
That's some
not
double
yours,
speak but, for you. Yeah.
Right. It is absolutely bananas. And so then Dove just released one. Like, I first started seeing the Native ones, and then the commercials are just bold as hell. They're like, you spray it here, and then somebody opens their pants and sprays it down there. And like, yeah, you could definitely spray that everywhere because every part of you is disgusting.
Yeah.
Which was a very 80s and 90s thing. And it's like that I'm not happy to see come back. Like, people, give me a break.
I suppose if you're not showering every day, did you just do this?
I mean, I guess. Pits to bits, they say. Ads claim the products can be used from head to toe and even from pits to bits.
Yeah, this is just body shaming. I'm with you on that.
It is just body shaming. And I would just say that dermatologists cited in this CBS article are like, no.
Don't do this.
Don't do this. Yeah. One, you don't need to. Mm-hmm. And two, or B, it's not great for you. Like, you really don't have to like spray some aluminum on your junk.
Yeah. Just wash. Washing is good. Soap and water.
Just wash.
Yeah.
Just wash.
When I had a really bad infection and I was treating it with alcohol, my doctor said, you know what? Stop that. You're destroying the skin cells. Soap and water. Like,
yeah.
Alcohol is good for like first aid, but not third, fourth, and fifth aid.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. Like, it all depends. Consult your doctor, of course. But
seriously.
But yeah.
And your lady bits are a delicate ecosystem. Don't spray random stuff there.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to pass so much judgment on the thing. But luckily, a bunch of dermatologists did it for me.
You.
But also,
yeah.
This is a thing. If you have not seen this ads because you're not watching every single second of the NBA playoffs. Like I am due to my child, you will soon.
By the way, guess who won the NBA championship in 1994? The Boston Celtics.
I knew it. Oh, no way.
It's going to be the Nuggets. So we don't have to worry about it. But if the Celtics do,
I'm not counting out. I'm not my brother. Okay. So my brother and I have this joke because I grew up in North Dakota and Montana, but in North Dakota is when we really were teenagers watching a lot of basketball together. And living here, we're Warriors fans, but obviously that's gotten upsetting in recent years. So 2 or 3 years ago, we decided to re-embrace the Minnesota Timberwolves
and
tell everybody that this is our childhood favorite team. But our inside joke is that we call them the Thunderwolves. I was like, yeah, our childhood favorite team, the Thunderwolves. Go Thunderwolves. Anyway, so we're all on the Thunderwolves this year.
Excellent. All right. Well, go Thunderwolves. I hope they take it all. Anybody but the Celtics to just prove it's really not 1994.
I mean, just something.
Now, over the weekend, Rich Straffolino, our wonderful producer, texted us on our It's a Thing group chat about ducks on the dashboards of Jeeps. And it was him just, you know, field reporting. Like, I keep seeing this in parking lots. Jeeps are parked. and they got ducks all over the dashboard. What gives? Is this just a Cleveland thing? Is it a worldwide thing? Is it a Jeep thing? So I looked it up and I found a Reader's Digest article of all things.
Which, by the way, is apparently still a thing.
Which is also a thing. About the fact that this started in Canada when a guy got in, or a person got in an altercation in a parking lot, and their friend cheered them up with rubber ducks, like as a joke, just hid little rubber ducks all over their house so that, you know, they joyfully found them. Maybe that sounds horrible to you to have somebody hide ducks in your house, but it worked in this case.
This is cute.
The friend knew their friend. It was like, they'll get a kick out of this. And so then that person who was a Jeep driver saw another Jeep driver and was like, you know what? I'm just going to leave a little rubber duck on their Jeep just for fun. And that Jeep driver saw it, is like, oh, that's so cute. And it became a thing from then
Incredible.
On. Right now, that was me on the plane to Las Vegas, right? Rich texting that, us discovering it, reading this Reader's Digest article, realizing that it was a Canadian being impolite that started it. How unlikely is that? And then I get to Las Vegas. Scott Johnson picks me up at the airport, a fellow podcaster, to take me out to breakfast, which was super nice. We're standing outside the breakfast place, and his wife takes out a tiny rubber duck and just sticks it on this little shelf. And I'm like, why did you do that? And she's like, oh, this is just a fun thing we're doing this week. You know, I bought a bunch of these on Amazon for real cheap, and I'm just leaving them around, you know, to spread joy. And I was like, do you know about the Jeep thing? And she did. But apparently it has broken out of the Jeep world because she got it from a friend who was doing it for a separate reason. And I don't remember that reason now, but that friend was a Jeep driver and so knew about it from the Jeep thing.
Okay, so now I'm realizing that there is a stoplight in Oakland that I pass a lot that always has like two or three rubber ducks in it.
There you go.
Oh my God.
You're going to start seeing them everywhere, I think.
I really, apparently we definitely are. I will say I have some ecologically minded concerns about this, but also how freaking cute.
I know. It's the cutest little pollution ever.
I do want to hear about something just being like nice in the world.
And it's just meant to, you know, make you smile and go, oh, look at that.
I definitely didn't know about the Jeep duck thing, though. That is fascinating.
Yeah,
me also, either. Speaking of things that make you smile, I used to really read Reader's Digest. Like, it was wonderful, and it was such a cute little form factor and stuff. Yeah. But did you know that their tagline is a trusted friend in a complicated world?
That's like a rubber duck itself.
It is like a rubber duck itself. Like, I'm just like, I want to start reading this every day. I'm like, adopt me.
What a great tagline.
A trusted friend in a complicated world. I mean, my God, how did we not know that? That's amazing.
I feel it patting me on the back.
I do. I feel taken care of by the Reader's Digest. Dang. Okay, so my next thing is like one of those things that has obviously been a thing for a long time, and I know this because the internet confirmed it, but now it's like the only thing. And that thing is everybody recording all of their social media videos in their car.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
Why has the car become the universal set for TikTokers, Instagram reelers, YouTubers? And I noticed it. Okay. I mean, obviously, I've noticed it a million times. But what really did it for me is when Marques Brownlee released this he did this great video about like what it means to be a reviewer, an unbiased reviewer, even when you have access to things and like whose side he's on. And it was about the humane AI pin, the reaction to the humane AI pin, and then the Cybertruck. And so he released this great, I mean, it's so thoughtful, and it's just this like compendium of like times when he's given tough reviews, and it has B-roll, and it's really well edited, and the whole thing is shot in his car.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. Like, if he's doing this highly produced, long rebuttal video in his car, then this is officially not just a casual, I had a thought in a Target and I wanted to dash it off and put it on TikTok thing. It's like, for whatever reason, it's just what you do.
It's a choice, right? Like, he has a set. Choice. He didn't have to go in his car. Right. Because my first impulse was, and maybe this is the roots of this, I took a Zoom class last year, and one of the people in the class was always in their car. And they explained at one point that it's because they have kind of a small house. She has kids. And so it was a place where it was quiet and the sound was good and she wouldn't get interrupted, you know?
Right.
So I could see a lot of people going like, "Ooh, yeah, sounds pretty good in here. And my house is kind of echoey and, you know, there's
privacy, like you can kind of like get away from the kids and the dogs and all of that. But now I think, and so yes, no question. Right. And there are tons of, you can go all the way back. There's like a Slate article in 2018. Why do so many YouTube videos take place inside cars? So it clearly was probably born of necessity for all of the reasons that you're saying. But now it is its own set. It's like the fourth place,
yeah,
or something, right? It's like you used to, because if you've got, like you said, like Marques Brownlee has many sets.
Oh, yeah. He's got no lack of choice on the set.
Super profesh setups. Yeah. Exactly. And so the point where you now have people making the very specific choice to use it as a set because it's just such a recognized look or something somehow has kicked it into thing gear.
Yeah. I want to think semiotically about it. Like, is it because it signals like, hey, I'm real busy right now, but talking to you is even more important. So I stopped the car and pulled over, you know, like it signals something when you see someone in their car.
Yeah, maybe. There's an article from the Indy100.com from 2022. Why have so many people transformed their cars into TikTok studios?
Yeah.
I mean, you had the whole James Corden thing. Recording right. in cars. Yeah. But like
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Comedians getting coffee in cars.
Yeah. It's really.
Comedians.
And then all of these TikTokers that are just literally like, there's one in this article that's just like, why are you always in your car? And it's like, the lighting is good. People can't hear me talking to my phone. All of those things. All of those reasons.
Yeah.
The burger dude who would review fast food.
Oh, right.
And now it's just sort of, now it's just shifted. And now it's like, oh, well, yes, this is the thing that
do. Need to move to our cars?
I'm wondering. Yeah, maybe. How do we stream? We have enough streaming problems. I feel like adding the car on top of that.
Can you imagine it's like way complicated, but we pulled it off. We're now just
streaming from our car because apparently that's what you have to do.
Because that's what you do. Yeah.
I know.
Oh, this is a great one. Good spot.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Marques Brownlee, for making a beautiful, super highly produced video from your freaking car.
All right. Let's also thank the thing spotters in the audience who send us their things. Feedback at itsathing.me. Derek wrote in with a fitness thing. Hi, Tom and Molly. And then in brackets, producer's note. It's fine.
Oh, dang.
I think Rich, I think he added that.
Hi,
Tom and Molly. Derek said, I've been noticing a thing that's been taking over the fitness world, which the New York Times validated the other day with an article, a new fitness craze with big drama. It's also been making headlines across other outlets like Men's Health, Cosmopolitan, Women's Health, The Week, and Fast Company. HYROX is a fitness competition and race started in Germany that's been taking off around the world. It's a mix of running, cardio, which running is also cardio, and functional fitness that strikes that balance to appeal to a lot of fitness enthusiasts and gyms across CrossFit, F45, Spartan, Barry's, Tough Mudder, etc. It's fairly approachable. You don't need advanced skills. The race is essentially a series of stations, ski erg, sled push, sled pull, burpee broad jump, rowing, farmer's carry, sandbag lunges, and wall balls with 1 kilometer runs before each movement for 8 kilometers total. You can do the race individually with a partner as a relay or with a weight vest. I did it twice in New York when it first permeated into CrossFit circles, but it's only continued to grow in size with races in cities around the world. The races now sell out within minutes. I was surprised to even find gyms in Taiwan also getting into the craze when I went back this past winter. Looks like it has spread to every continent. Again, it's called HYROX.
HYROX. This is fascinating. This Cosmopolitan article that he sent was from 3 days ago as we're recording this, or six
this
days
is a
ago or
really good spot, Derek.
Really good spot. Yeah. Oh, man. I remember when like the Spartan race and the Tough Mudder were everywhere and I had to be like, I'm not doing that. Then they're like, this is approachable. This is like fine. No, I'm not doing that.
8 kilometers. Do a bunch of burpees. Now run a kilometer. I guess it's only a kilometer at a time. So,
yeah, but with like a bajillion burpees. No.
I'm not saying it's easy, but whew.
They do. It's basically if you turned, my understanding from my brief scan is that it's if you turned CrossFit into a race,
yeah,
it would be this thing.
Yeah, and it's got Ambassador Domo's right. It's got a little Spartan run in it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little combo.
This is coming. Yeah, that's a great one. I love it. Wesley, who I owe an email to, wrote in with a possible swear resurgence origin. Hi, Rich, Tom, and Molly. I wanted to comment on the rise of the word or swear. See you next Tuesday. C-U-N-T. I'm late to the party, but a few weeks ago, I started watching The Boys on Amazon Prime. One of the main protagonists in the show is the character called Butcher. He uses that word all the time, and I don't know which came first, but I can say he either confirms the trend or helped start the first wave, which could totally be true. Really love the show. Enjoy using it to keep up with what the kids are doing and the horrible things they are saying to each other. That's an editorial ad. And also nice to run into you at South by Southwest. That is too funny.
Yeah.
He's totally right though. And that character, it's Carl Urban, who is Australian. And as we discussed, I think when we brought up this word, it's much more commonly used there, but I could imagine it like bringing it into the parlance.
Yeah. At very least gave it a boost, right? If not mm-hmm. more. So mm-hmm. good spot, Wesley. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Love it.
Kevin on showering. I freely admit that I don't shower. I never Boom. Did like doing that growing up, but I'd say that in the past decade, I'll just rinse off a few times a year, depending on how active I am. No shampoo or soap unless I actually get physically dirty. Sweat is not dirt, says Kevin.
Damn, a few times a year. Bold.
Wow. Yeah.
Love this. Nice. Love it. Let's go. Let's just normalize being natural, water. For God's sake. Full body deodorant. Just shut up. Shut up, the 90s. Jennifer needs a thing check. Is everything bagel seasoning a thing? She asks. Mm-hmm. I recently bought and devoured, she says, a bag of everything bagel cashews. The next time I was in the store, I noticed several other items that were also everything bagel seasoned. Is it just me or is it a thing? Such a good spot.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. I remember the first time I saw everything bagel seasoning sold as a season, you know, like right. like a jar. And it feels like since that time... people have decided to put it on anything they can think of. So yeah, well done.
Yeah, I didn't realize they were doing it. And that just feels like natural Trader Joe's crossover.
Yeah.
Great catch.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. actually. That Charlie dude has a possible thing. Hey, Tom, Molly, and Rich. Is flow state a thing? Have you all talked about it already? I don't remember. Lately, I've been hearing flow state all over the place. Most recently, I heard it in a Supernatural workout. As a kid, The Zone was super popular when talking about getting into the right mental state when working out. Then it was Headspace. I think flow state has replaced both of those terms. Love the show. Y'all rock.
Yeah, that's so funny because the tech culture has been talking about flow state for so many years that I didn't think of it as a thing. But now I wonder if it is starting to propagate.
I think Charlie Dude is noting it's crossing the boundaries from just coders, like get in the flow state. And I've heard writers like creative writing, fiction writers and stuff talk about getting in the flow state a little, which is, you know, kind of adjacent to coding. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe having it show up in the Supernatural workout VR app. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it has officially spread into thing category right now. Because it's more widespread for sure. Lee Price, this is like an astrology reading right here. Lee Price has some highly specific thing predictions for the week of May 11th through 17th.
Okay. All right. I love this, Lee.
I follow this lady on Instagram and she's like, babies, if you're seeing this on April 29th, you know, this is the transit that's making you feel this way.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, Windows 95 merch. Okay.
Okay.
Number two, Irish Doomsday Ghoul Metal. These are all accompanied by YouTube links, which we'll have to put up somewhere in our show notes, probably. It's a thing.me. The lyrics, rim tim toggy dimmy, rim tim toggy diggy, rim tim toggy diggy, as an unshakable earworm.
Okay.
Just this week, though, the week of May 11th through 17th. 90s trance and all the wet hair flicks that come with it.
Perfect.
And finally, embracing falsetto in mainstream pop. That's right, Lee explains. This is the week after Eurovision. And it is an especially weird and fantastic batch of songs this year. Watching this event sober is not recommended.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. I was like, Bravo. Where are these coming from? The YouTube links are to the songs that will be performed at Eurovision because they put together music videos ahead of the performance. Oh, this is fantastic.
This is incredible. Yeah. I'm having a party.
I love Eurovision. It's the best.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is growing in thingdom too. Like we talked about it as a thing, but it just gets bigger every year. And that's
yeah. It is May 11th. Saturday, May 11th is the finale of the Eurovision. That's you can watch the semis earlier in the week, but the finale is where you see the votes and all of that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm putting it on the calendar. All right, we'll put it on the calendar after we do the shout outs.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much to those of you who support the show at patreon.com/itsathing. You are the reason that we can keep doing it week after week. It makes it all possible and it's incredible. And those of you who support us at the shout out level make the show better by being part of hilarious custom crafted shout outs week after week.
This week's shout outs, constructed by our producer, Rich, are based on the discipline and playtime section from the Owners of Pet Skunks informational website. So if I'm reading this right, there's a website that says, if you have a pet skunk, here's the discipline and playtime recommendations we suggest for your skunk.
And by the way, Owners of Pet Skunks, the anagram, the abbreviated version is oops, I got a pet skunk. Oops, what's wrong with me? here, if you knew you didn't want one before, I believe our shout outs are going to confirm that for you.
This is beautiful.
I'll kick us off. Valor Truck's teeth are very sharp, and Jake Woods has canine or eye teeth that can make a nasty puncture wound. Eric Duncan needs to be handled gently, given affection, and taught not to bite. Usually, biting will lessen as Gabrielle Cohen grows older and becomes accustomed to your household and Benjamin Forrest. Kevin Sills should be disciplined with patience. Lashing out in anger and roughness towards Lee Price will usually result in a mean, vicious, biting Joe Hood. A stern voice or a loud Brian John Furcaro works well. Giving time outs in an empty bathtub for unacceptable Louis Saint-Amour worked well for us.
Morris Jones could be taught to stand up on his hind feet for food. Patience, repetition on the part of AJ Venturella, and good treats are the biggest assets to teaching AB Puppy to do tricks. Mike Akins loves to play with toys as well as you. Stomping and charging at Laura Abel with their tail in the air or playing tug of war with a special toy are some common playtime activities. Do you have ample time to teach James C. Smith appropriate behavior and bond with them?
Aww.
Don't keep a skunk as a pet. That sounds like a horrible idea.
I do follow at least one Instagram account that's like an animal rescue and they have some foxes and a skunk.
Yeah.
And the skunk does do that foot stomping. It does this hilarious foot stomping tail thing and like when it wants to play or eat, and it is adorable. They are super cute.
They're super cute. And I'm sure there are a select number of people who know what they're doing and can rescue wild animals and train them and everything, but that's not most of us.
So, no. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Oops, I got a skunk. Oh my God. Thank you so much for listening to It's a Thing, for indulging our just absolutely bizarre interests in the world, and of course for supporting the show. If you become a member at patreon.com/itsathing, you will get access to our Discord where you can chat along with fellow weirdos when we record live.
Pictures of skunks.
An ad-free RSS feed.
You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Looks for those in the show notes or over at our shopping page, itsathing.me/shop. You can also email us things, feedback@itsathing.me. Do it right now. We'll talk to you next time.
Do it right now. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.